Yes, I'm going to give a perspective on Cornerstone as the newest leader, the new kid on the block. Been here for a few years, but I'm the newest leader. And so my perspective comes from being somewhat of a newer comer to Cornerstone, but also someone who's had my whole life in churches, growing up, a lot of different churches, all kinds, including being on staff for 6 years with a megachurch. And before I get into things that I see in Cornerstone, I want to give a little analogy of what Reed and I experienced with our family, because I'm biased with both these. I'm biased about our family, and I'm biased about the church family to some degree. I'm trying to be objective. But when we first moved to Lee's Summit with our family in 2003, there's a couple of our kids that were ashamed to invite their friends over to our house, because Lee Summit is well off in a lot of ways, and we are living in this tiny townhouse, you know, houses connected to each other in a row, and we didn't have a whole lot in our house to entertain teenagers especially. So a couple of our kids just said, you know, they didn't want to invite their friends over. They were ashamed to bring them into our home. Well, about 12 years later, or even more than that, and after some of them are married, they're saying, wow, our family is so awesome. We really appreciate what you did. We want to raise our kids the way you raised us. We want families like our family. Interesting. Well, I see some similarities as I talk to people here in Cornerstone and get to know people. And you've had limited experience ages. There's a lot of factors. And I see these awesome things in this church family, and this church family is similar to our family. It's all kind of problems. Kids not getting along and all these fights going on in our family. And our family's got problems. But I see all these other things. That this is an awesome family. And so I wanted to give what I see going on in this family to give somewhat more of, try to give an outside perspective of the amazing things that God is doing here to help us appreciate what's happening. So in our family, the reason we didn't have as much and cheaper housing is because, just up here on the slide, there's a lot of principles that we were following from the Bible. But three of them, one that stands out, number one, our priority is our marriage. Next to my relationship with God, my wife is my highest priority in my life, period. That's not too many people that live that way. And second to that is our children. Our children are more important than my ministry, my work, than anything else, that other relationships. So we invest in our children. As a result, Rita never got a job to earn some extra income for our family, because even though I didn't have a whole lot of income, I said, let's figure out a way to invest with kids. And so we worked on that. And each family do this different. I'm not saying everyone ought to do it the way our family did. There's just principles that we understood from the Bible, and this is how we applied them. And then as we trained our family, we focused, training our children in God's ways was a major part of our focus. Help them know God's word and apply the principles to their lives. We gave our lives to that a lot. And as a result, that's how we ended up in Lee's Summit, in this tiny little house. And our kids were ashamed to bring their friends at home, which made us sad, but we had a vision for the future too, and God is blessed. Well, here in Cornerstone, the leaders here in Cornerstone over a lot of years have built this church family on God's values, His principles from Scripture. And it's not, they're not looking at what does society prefer. Let's make our church according to what society prefers, but let's really focus on God's word, because they're convinced that's how God can work and make the biggest difference in people's lives. And so, yes, Cornerstone has a lot of problems, just like my family. But I'm so thankful for the emphasis that they've put on God's word. And the result, I and a lot of you have really experienced His blessing in your lives, probably in more ways than you know. So I want to give a brief summary of some of these principles that I see being practiced here in the church. There is a strong focus on God, especially on Christ and the gospel. God's grace shown through Jesus Christ and his love and forgiveness of this through the gospel. That is the big focus all the way through what the church does. Every Sunday, got communion up here. Of course, it's not just the ritual, but the explanation. When Reed and I started coming here, we commented to each other, says, wow, they really put a strong emphasis on Christ. And we like that. That is foundational, what's happening here in the church. And Cornerstone has had strong leadership for many years. We see that right in the leaders here, the three that were here before I joined them. They remind me of parents in a lot of ways. That they're there, they have that responsibility because of their character. They weren't hired because of their talent to come in. In fact, this church, Cornerstone Church, in the last, 40 years or so, they've had a number of pastors go be in this church and out of this church. As far as I know, not one of them was hired from outside because of, wow, he's an awesome preacher. We need to hire him, or whatever reason. They were people that were in the church family, grew, trained, whatever, say, okay, we'd like you to be the parent of this family. And that's the way all these men were, and that's the way the history of Cornerstone has been. Because imagine what it's like if you're in a family and, you know, five kids in the family and you lost your parents and you say, wow, we need to find another parent. We'd really like a good cook. Okay, let's find this guy. Or maybe, you know, not a good cook, but we need a repair person. Things are just falling apart. Let's find a guy who really knows how to repair. And so you bring in a dad. He says, we'll do everything for you, Dad, if you just repair everything here. Well, that has benefits, but, you know, you just smile and laugh because, for one thing, a step-parent is really tough to bring in. And if you bring him in because of certain skills, that's going to result in some other problems too. But people that are committed and there because of their character, that's the kind of parent that I like. And I'm glad this church family follow those same principles for how they build this church family. This, and as a result, this church has awesome teaching and preaching. Some of you go, because your value might be a lot like a lot of American Christian culture. You go for the gifted communicator that can hold your attention spellbound. I enjoy that too. But Reed and I have commented to each other, we get fed from the teaching, preaching in this church as much and more than some places, some churches we've been in the past, because they are Bible-centered, Christ-centered, gospel-centered, and that's what we get. Sometimes I have to work to listen a little bit more than someone who's, you know, flabbergasting me, but it's there. It's kind of there. And that's what I see God emphasizing in Scripture, of what makes a good teacher and preacher. And another emphasis or strength of Cornerstone is prayer. I can get carried away talking about each of these. I have to be careful so I don't use up too much time here. But Cornerstone has a strong emphasis on prayer. Two things stand out about it to me is that when they have prayer times, all church prayer time, or even those early morning Wednesday night prayer times, there's a high percentage that go. Yeah, it's not the majority of the church, but higher percentage than most churches. And you know what they do at those prayer times? I've been amazed, more than probably most any other church prayer meetings I've been in, they pray. Most of the time they pray. I don't have time to discuss all these things that I've experienced in every kind of word. Praying there. And Wednesday mornings I told Rita, you know, I have to fight to get into prayer edgewise. Some of these other times I feel like I'm the only one praying, but I have to fight to get a turn praying with these guys that are praying on Wednesday morning. So, yeah. Well, moving on, another emphasis that Cornerstone has is on families and training children. I'm not going to go into detail here. Homeschooling is a common thing here because of that priority, emphasis on families and training children. Strong friendships is a very obvious thing here in the church. Not many churches where people just hang out after the service they have to be kicked out of the building. They'll be hanging out for an hour afterwards. And picnics, they just like being together. And one thing that happens when you have close friendships and spend a lot of time together is you find out about each other's problems. And you can get discouraged about the church. Our church is full of problems. But that's what happens when you get married to someone. You learn about all their problems. You think, oh, why did I marry this person? You look at all these other nice marriages and having fun. It's because you don't know them well. But we have such strong friendships, and the backside of this, you know each other well. If we just have nice programs and listen to nice music and go home, we wouldn't find out about all the problems in the church. But we're not that kind of church. We have a lot of close friendships, and the problems, we find out about each other's problems in the meantime. But it's a very positive quality, I'm convinced of. Strong outreach. Not going to go into detail here. To friends, international students. Not that we have room to grow, but that's the heart of this church. And now, taking steps, looking into Southside Mission. I'm excited about possibilities there. I think John might mention something about that a little bit later. We also have a strong commitment and loyalty to the extended church family. Other churches that we've been connected to relationship-wise through the Great Commission church family. These leaders are committed to showing up at conferences, regional meetings, whatever. They are just loyal to the extended family. And Cornerstone is a very strong participant in world mission. For a small church, they are a model for being involved in world mission, of praying for world missions, for giving to world missions, all those, they are a model, and people going, short-term mission, whatever, they sent out 3 long-term missionaries from the church. World mission is a huge strength of the church. And a strong practice of leadership plurality. This is not a common thing in churches, and it takes work, because there's no senior pastor that has any higher authority to make decisions than any of the other pastors. And I was amazed that they're willing to add a 4th person in the mix, and we have to make decisions for all of us to be in agreement. How much work is that going to take for 4 people to be in agreement? But that's how they're committed to work in plurality. As you can imagine, that has strengths, but that has challenges. But it's the example. You look at the New Testament, it's not a command, but it's the example you see. Whenever elders are mentioned, it's always in plural in the New Testament and functioning in plurality there. Younger leaders are always being trained to become pastors here at Cornerstone. That's not a common thing. There's big churches out there that have no training program for pastors. But I see that as a huge strength, and that's why Cornerstone has brought up leaders. The pastors always come from within the church. They're never hiring anyone from outside, because they're molding, working, all these different ways to help them grow into leadership within the church. So I see that as a huge strength here. And Cornerstone has a history of sending missionaries, leaders, and starting churches. I'm not going to go into detail there. But all these things put together have just evidenced God working in that way through history. So the result of Cornerstone Community Church practicing these principles from God's Word is that it really is a model church. When you compare it to the original church we see outlined at the beginning of Acts, Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, I've put down 6 of the highlights that we see up here. Devoted to the apostles' teaching, because they were teaching God's Word and the teachings of Jesus. And that's what this church is devoted to. Devoted to fellowship, friendship. Devoted to breaking bread. Some people might say, oh, that's just having meals together. Well, whether it's communion or having meals, Cornerstone has it covered. We're devoted to both of those. And devoted to prayer, caring for each other, reaching out to bring others to Christ. Those are the values we see in the original New Testament church, and those are the values I see shining brightly here in Cornerstone. So, you know, a lot of younger ones and other people in Cornerstone, and even from whatever perspective, they don't see this happening. They don't realize the strengths of what's happening in this relatively small body of believers. But there are some, besides me, that see that. And one, Scott back here, you want to stick up your hand, Scott, or something? Scott and I have had some good conversations, and he's a guy, he's not quite as old as me, but he's been around for a while. He's been in a lot of churches in the past. This last summer, he came to picnic with his friend Raul, which some of you knew before. And as he and I have been talking, he's just telling me, you know, this church, and he'll describe different things in different ways, it's a very special group of people. This is a very special church. You don't find churches like this very often. These people really love God. These people really love each other. These people really love the lost. I asked Scott permission to say these things to verify. Am I exaggerating? Because this, would you back this up? And he said, yep, go ahead and say that. In fact, I asked him, can I say those things? And he said, yeah, say those things and add this on. So he said, this church, these people take God's word seriously. When I have conversations with a lot of them, they use scripture. They talk about God's word. They even memorize God's word. He's been impressed with the memory, that scripture memory that's happening. And so you can talk with Scott Moore, but he's one of those people who's been around a lot of churches and come here and found this body and agrees. This is a special group of people where God is at work and they're really serious about applying God's word. So Scott, appreciate getting to know you a little bit. So as I said at the beginning, Cornerstone has had many problems, still has many problems similar to my family. But because they're making God's word the basis for their life and practicing the principles from God's word, it really is a model church. It is a special family, and that's why I'm happy to have that name Cornerstone, because Jesus is the cornerstone. As I mentioned at the first of my list of principles, their cornerstones are emphasis on Jesus and his love for us. His grace for us really is the foundation. That's what gives us the freedom and the ability to love each other with all these problems and to love a lost world, is because of our focus on him, Jesus, and his grace. He really is our cornerstone, and that's why we're a special family. John is next here.
I'm going to go ahead and pray. I forgot to earlier. Senior moment. Here we go. Thanks, Father, for the ways that you've brought blessing and encouragement to Mike and Rita through this body and to many of us. And thank you, Lord, for how you are blessing this body through them as they've joined in and become part of the family here. Would you just work the qualities that Mike touched on here into this church still more and more and more for your honor and for your kingdom. In Christ we pray. Amen. All right, I'm going to be brief here. As a church and as leaders of this church, we have a strong desire to continue growing, changing as God would have us grow and change. We recognize, as Mike pointed out, that we haven't arrived. We have challenges, we have problems, we have needs and struggles as a church. So we want to be honest and real about where we're at and then just looking to God to see progress. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail here, but bottom line is we need to grow, continue growing and changing as a church. And here are a few ways. Looking back over the last year, we have recognized a need to grow in evangelism as a body of believers. Where does it start? It starts with the leaders of the church. So some of the leaders got together over the summer and went through a training course on evangelism, relational evangelism, that was very helpful and encouraging. And then out of that, we've seen some steps taken that I think are encouraging. Johnny's gotten involved in a running club this year, lots of opportunities with non-Christians to develop friendships, and it's happening, and he's getting conversations with them, even spiritual conversations in some cases. So it's moving in the right direction there with opportunities. And then, let's see, Nate went through that training class with us. Nate's involved in a professional networking group, and that's really, similarly, provided lots of opportunities for him to be mixing up with people who need Jesus, and he's had some conversations, some spiritual conversations, and it's just got a lot of potential. In our neighborhood, Dottie and I organized a block party, and that was just a huge step for us. People that hadn't gotten together in that way for literally, in some cases, decades, and so we were meeting neighbors, getting to know our neighbors better, and we're going to have some opportunities that come out of that. A lot of that is in the realm of relational pre-evangelism, but it's setting the stage for sharing Christ with more and more people. We recognize that it just has to start with the leaders, and we want to see that propagated throughout our church. Another thing, last year, a priority, a need that we recognized was to strengthen our leadership team. And so the step that God directed there was to recognize Mike Bergen as a pastor. And what a blessing that is and will be. We're still, what shall I call it, the honeymoon stage? We're exploring, how are we going to function together? Because it's a new thing. And as Mike pointed out, four men who are needing to be on the same page and coming to consensus, agreement on a lot of things, working through things. But it is a great blessing already. And Mike, with Rita at his side, is going to be the point man for a couple of new initiatives coming up over the year ahead, 2018, but really potentially starting in 2017, what remains of it. So I want to mention what those two are. One is the priority of seeing every person in this body of believers helped and encouraged in growing up as a disciple of Jesus. Having help and encouragement. And that happens through getting some focused attention, someone who comes alongside, and you have a relationship where there's help, and it's reciprocal. But I'm not talking about one of the pastors in every case coming alongside you and discipling you, but what our vision is that I think the label we want to, this is our working label for what we're talking about here. Discipleship partners. Whoever's willing and desiring to have this, we want to see it happen, and Mike's going to help facilitate that. But just that you would have a discipleship partner, or in some cases there might be three in a group who are functioning this way in one another's lives, where there's a focus, a commitment to meet together and to get to know one another better. Some of you already have this, and so it's not that it's not happening. We just want to see it available to everyone in the church so that no one is falling through the cracks. And then a commitment to talk through issues of life with one another in a real way, and then pray for one another and just encourage one another, help one another to grow in knowing Christ, following Him, being devoted to Him, and growing up. So that's one, discipleship partners. And it's going to be very practical, and let's see how it plays out. It may take time for it to all fall into place. But it's something all of us can look forward to. Secondly, Mike referred to this. We have seen as a need in our church the priority of reaching out to the neediest. Needy people. And I'm talking about people who have, yes, a spiritual need. They need Jesus, but they're also in our social fabric. They're in a place of great need, poverty, all kinds of brokenness in their lives. There are a lot of people like that in close proximity to where we meet as a church. And so reaching out to the neediest through both word, the word of Christ, and through works, ministries of mercy. Mike referred to Mission Southside. It's a mission organization, a ministry organization based in Olathe. They reach out to disadvantaged people in a lot of different neighborhoods. And the focus is on having a presence, Christians, with a heart to invest in people's lives and make Christ known to people who need Jesus. Christians having a presence in a neighborhood, an apartment complex, as a team. And Mission Southside calls these site teams. So you have a team from a particular church who adopts an apartment complex or a neighborhood, and then it's not like they come to us, we go to them, and we have a presence there, we get to know them, we get to know what their needs are, we learn how we can minister to them. But it's not like we have all the answers, get with the program. It's like we get to know them and find out how we can help. And all kinds of things are possible that are going on through Mission Southside. It's an experienced organization that basically we want to step into what their vision is. They have a lovely motto. Their motto is taking Jesus to people in need by extending help and hope. And so, yes, there's an interest in meeting physical needs. Some of the things that can happen at a site team, homework huddles for children who need help with their homework, free garage sales where furniture, clothing can be made available to people who don't have things. A lot of other things that they do. There's opportunity for spiritual conversations as you get to know people, discovery Bible studies, community projects. Just we can learn so much from what other churches are already doing in this context, working with Mission Southside and taking advantage of their experience with reaching out to people like this. So we're excited about that opportunity. We are going to be identifying in the weeks or months ahead a particular location in Olathe, probably an apartment complex, where we will be having a site team. And any of you who want to become involved in that, it's an opportunity that you'll have. And we're talking about investing in the long term in people's lives, not just for a short season or a holiday outreach, but we're talking about the expectation of years of getting to know families, individuals at a location. So you'll be hearing more about that. I'll share this scripture to sum up. This is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Christians in Thessalonica. These are men and women that he came into this city, invested in people who needed Jesus, and just had a heart of love and care and concern for them. And then after they came to Christ, similarly, he continued investing as beloved family. Here's what he had to say. Having so fond an affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. That was Paul's heart for the believers, even before they were believers, there in Thessalonica. And this is the heart we elders at Cornerstone, I think, to some measure have for all of you, and so much want to cultivate that still more and more, to have that heart, and then to have it in particular toward you, every one of you. So may God have his way with us and with you and with this church. Now, Johnny.
First of all, I'd like to start out with a free public speaking tip, and that is never eat a donut just before you're talking in front of a group of people. I'm experiencing it's not the best idea, but bear with me. All right, now I'm just going to zoom out on perspective and ask what would be the mark, a really fundamental defining mark of success for us as a church. Mike has talked about some of the strengths he sees of God working in us, and then my dad talked about some of the ways we need to grow and our desires to see progress. But in the kind of the larger view perspective, what would be the mark of real health and progress for us as a church? In Philippians chapter 3, Paul gives us a list of credentials that would have made his Jewish countrymen look up to him at the time. And they involve things like his birth, his education, his religious zeal. And these are things that would have made him admirable in some of his colleagues' eyes. There's an analogy, though, to us, because in every single culture, there are some characteristics that will make us especially admirable to some people, but that are not really the heart of what God is after. So in Western churchianity, for example, it can be things like the size of a congregation or the meeting place, the quality of music, or how hip you are as a congregation, maybe how many podcast listens the pastors have, or etc. You know, all these things. And none of these are bad in themselves. Each of them can be things that God uses. And yet, not one of those, of course, is the very heart of what marks a healthy church or what God is after at the fundamental level. So Paul addresses this and the fact that, you know, these other things can give a counterfeit satisfaction to what is most important. But then after starting out in Philippians 3 talking about these things in verse 7 and 8, he says, whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. And then more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So, there it is. There are varying signs of health for a church, but the root of all of it is knowing God, knowing Jesus Christ. And knowing Christ better is the gauge of whether a church is headed in the right direction. And that's the mark of a healthy, successful body from God's perspective. Why is it that knowing Christ is the all-surpassing value? Well, imagine there's this big group of kids that like to play together, and you decide to get to do a little bit of research, and so you interview them one by one, and you're asking, what's your favorite thing to do? And, you know, one after another, they have unique answers in that one likes to play on the swing set, another one likes to play basketball, another one likes to play football, tag, etc. But the common denominator for every single child is that, but most of all, I like to be with Joe. Who's Joe? Oh, he's my best friend. Well, what do you like about him? And then again, there are a dozen different answers, but what they all have in common is that they just like to be with this guy named Joe. You'd have to conclude, after your research, that for some reason, in his presence is fullness of joy. Right? And, of course, that is the reality of Jesus himself, that because of who he is, there are 1,000 different reasons to love him, and yet the summarizing reality of why knowing him is a surpassing value is because in his presence is fullness of joy. It's the sum. I mean, it's the combination of his wisdom and righteousness and justice and mercy and power and joy and energy and kindness and compassion. The sum perfection of all that he is that makes him more desirable than anything else. That makes him more satisfying than anything that he's made. So, that's why the root of knowing Jesus is the fundamental thing. You know, in light of his value, it would make sense for anyone to give up everything in order to gain Christ, and to do that from the very start of our lives. Of course, nobody has done that. You know, he's worth more than anything, but no one on their own initiative has turned from inferior pursuits to go after him. But Jesus is the one who has given up everything to gain us. You know, we are not all desirable. We are not all satisfying, but he's the one who gave up everything so that we could know him, the one who is. So here's the astounding thing. It's that Jesus gave everything to gain us, not because he needed us, but because we needed him. God passionately seeks our worship, not because he needs it, but because we do. That's the kind of God he is. He's love. He's an amazing God. And now, Jesus frees us to count everything else as loss compared to the superior value of knowing him. This is a message that we call the gospel, the amazing news of who Jesus is and what he's done and what it means for us. And knowing him, if we come to know Jesus better, then we will be a healthy and fruitful church. There's a phrase in the book of Daniel that I like to close with. In Daniel chapter 11, there's a long vision given to him, and it's a confusing passage even to Daniel himself. But there, nestled within that long chapter 11, in verse 32, there is this phrase that says, "The people who know their God shall stand firm and take action." The people who know their God will stand firm and take action. It's very probable that the ways in which our culture is shifting today will make being a believer who is faithful to God and his word increasingly unpopular. So it might actually cost more than it has for a long time to live as a Christian, a follower of Christ. And yet we see here that the ones who stand firm are the ones who really know their God. And the ones who take action are the ones who really know their God. So knowing him, that's the spring of everything else that we want to be and to do. See, if we know him well, then we will love each other. If we know him well, then we will care about those who are disadvantaged and needy and do something about the needs that we see. And if we know him well, we will want other people around us to know him like he's shown himself to us. So everything we want to be as a church and as individuals springs from truly knowing God and knowing Jesus Christ, the King. So may the Lord build his church, and may our highest priority and passion be getting to know him better. Amen. Let's pray. Yes, Lord, we thank you for how you have worked in this body and done it for years. We thank you that you see our needs more clearly than we do. You see the problems, the ways we need to grow, but you also see what it will take for those needs to be met and that growth to take place. And we thank you for your grace and truth by which we have hope. We thank you for giving us all surpassing privilege of knowing you. And we ask, Lord, that you make us know you better as individuals and a church so that we can become the body that you want us to be for your glory. Amen.